Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. We are supposed to rejoice in hope, be patient when trials and tribulation come our way, and continue constantly, steadfastly in prayer. Tribulation comes in every form imaginable. It can be as simple as a light burning out when you need to see into a room that frustrates you. Seriously. It can be something tragic, like getting that phone call, learning that your loved one has passed. Or a diagnosis of cancer. Tribulation rears its head every day in this world that we live in. Just like the tragedy that we have been witnessing played out continually 24 hours a day that happened in Las Vegas. It changed thousands upon thousands of people's lives forever. And how we deal with that depends on whether we have a relationship, I believe, with the Lord or not. These are hard words to hear. This book of Romans is a hard book to study, because it is so blunt. Paul takes away all the niceties when he's writing, and he says, this is what you need to do when trials and tribulations come your way. You have to walk with the Lord in those trials and tribulations. And if you'll do that, you'll come out all right. But if you don't, you'll be worn down and you will start listening to other people in this world, and you will probably end up in sorrow. When anyone passes or anybody gets a bad diagnosis, we all weep, and we're supposed to do that. I'm not talking about being rejoicing when you get a bad bunch of news. I'm talking to you about not leaning on your understanding, but leaning on God. Because He and only He, as we discovered this morning, can be our Savior. If you would, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When you get there, let me know. Off comes the jacket. Are you there? Here's instruction written to a church, and it's written to every church. This is God's Word. It's here for us to have and to hold and to use it. And you're not going to just hear bad news out of Las Vegas in your life. You're going to hear bad news all the time. You'll never know what you're going to wake up to or go to bed with in this world, because we are living in a world that is ruled by evil. That is a fact. And Paul deals with this in the letter to the Ephesians here in chapter 5. And it says we are to do something to help guard us against the evil in the world. We're supposed to walk as children of light in this world. when all else fails in this world, Christians are supposed to know, be knowledgeable, and I'm informing you this morning that we're to walk differently than other people in this world so that people can see the light of Christ in us. And then, therefore, you will help give someone else hope as they walk through a trial and tribulation. People are depending on you. Right, Rich? Your little one depended on someone else to have her be able to say, "Bow your head. Let's pray." I'd like to get into all of this with you, but we'll just be real blunt this morning. It says, verse 15, here's where we're going to start. Verse 15. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The will of the Lord in our life is to redeem us, save us, and cure us spiritually, and to not lead us into temptation of believing in some other God on this planet. To trust wholly and solely upon one entity in this universe, and that is God. We try every trick in the book to trust everything except God before we turn to God sometimes. We'll do anything. A $1 trillion industry in this world are supplements that people are trying to take to cure every known illness. It's a $1 trillion industry. Now that we have the internet, things are flying off the shelves, and some of the things that you can order, you have no idea where they were made or manufactured. But people hear it, they see it, they believe it, and they order it. They come and they consume it, and they consume it for a few days, and if they don't see a miraculous change in their life, they lay that one down and order something else. If you're looking for a miracle, turn to God. And that miracle does not mean that you personally will be healed completely of an earthly issue in your life. But it does mean, my Bible means, in every way, that you can be healed spiritually forever and ever and ever. If you trust not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And as a Christian, if you believe that there is a place provided and made ready by the Lord God Himself for us when we pass from this life to the next, then you, my friend, have a peace in your heart that surpasses all understanding. But if you do not trust in the Lord, you have no peace. And you will end up walking with people that will not be helpful to you in your life. I'm living proof. Everywhere we go, in every place your foot touches down, you leave an impression, don't you? Everywhere you go. And as we walk, we leave something behind. It depends on who you're walking with as to what you're going to leave behind. If you're walking with another believer, then hopefully it will be only goodness. But hopefully you and that believer are not walking alone, just the two of you. You're walking with the Lord at your side. But you need to seek Him while there is still time, and you need to lead others to seek Him while there's still time in their life if they're not walking according to the Scriptures. And as we walk, we either leave a legacy of peace or we leave a legacy of scorched earth. scorched earth. Do any of you know what the scorched earth philosophy and theory and plan is? Have you heard of it before? It's a real thing. This is not a word made up or a sentence made up by Craig Holland. This is a military strategy. Have you heard of it? This has been going on since recorded time. Invading armies sometimes have a plan that when they approach an enemy, they will kill, steal, and destroy everything in their path. They will leave nothing behind. The theory is that as they approach and as they encroach on the enemy's land, they take all of their possessions, they take everything away from them, they burn buildings, they kill everyone in their pathway, so that the army, the defending army, will have no food, no provisions, no shelter, no nothing. They can't defend themselves anymore. It's called scorched earth. It's been going on since the beginning of time. It happens even today. Remember the Iraqi war? Remember when the Iraqi soldiers started to pull back and they burned all the oil wells, set them on fire? That's the scorched earth philosophy. We have a conflict brewing right now in a place called Korea, don't we? Only it's not new. It's called the Forgotten War. It's called the Forgotten War because, you see, there's never been peace there ever, 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 ever. It's over 60 years old, the conflict. And there's never been a peace agreement signed. They're under what's called a ceasefire agreement. And soldiers are literally standing this close to one another between North and South Korea, guarding a line on the earth called the 38th parallel. Why am I talking about that? I'm not going to get political on you. I'm going to get God on you, I hope. What we left behind in conflicts like that are scorched earth. We got into that conflict at the beginning because we were at odds with a country called the USSR at that time. And it was because of another theory called the domino theory. We were trying to prevent communism from spreading throughout the world. So the theory was that every time communism popped up, you put it down. Because if you don't, democracy, they thought, would start falling and collapsing like pushing a domino. So we got into the conflict. And we totally and utterly destroyed North Korea with our bombing. I hope you'll take this in the right way. Leaving behind destruction in our life never cures anything. Arguing with people over your religion, over your faith, ends up in disaster. The people over there aren't even privileged to have a Bible. They've closed themselves in. It's called one of the dark spots on this earth. When you look at the rest of the earth, it's all lit up with lights, and you look at that area of North Korea, it's dark. They have gone inside themselves and closed the door and won't let the rest of the world in, and you wonder why. If you're doubting what I'm saying, you look this up for yourself. I'm telling you this because if we start conflicts in our life on this earth, in Coolville or in Clover Run or wherever it is, and if we leave behind total destruction in our wake, you're not about to make friends with those people very easily in the future, are you? You wonder why the people of North Korea do what they do. They have no idea of how we exist here. They're not trusting on God for their understanding. They're trusting on in their, I forget even what they call him now. I'm not talking about his name. It's their glorious leader or their supreme leader, the blessed leader, whatever. They're leaning on men to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And those leaders are all about themselves. They're not leaning on God. But what got them into that in the first place is, just read the history and you'll see why people sometimes react the way they do. I'm telling you about this because it's current. It's today. It's happening. And you can see the result of what happens when we leave behind scorched earth, when we're not walking with God, when we're doing destructive things in our life. Before the Korean War, there was what? World War II, right? Well, at the beginning of World War II, who was one of the superpowers? Japan, right? What did Japan do to North Korea? Japan invaded North Korea and totally dominated them and killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. They've been under this brutal warring and domination for decades and decades and decades, and they finally decided to lock themselves in their own closet and say, I don't want anything to do with the rest of the world, because every time we stick our foot out or our nose out, it gets cut off. Try to understand someone else's plight on this earth is the point. What have they been through? What have they done? And I say, pray for them. Pray that someone could get through the door with the message of salvation of Jesus Christ. Pray that someone could break through this barrier that's lasted all these decades and decades and give them the light of Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You see something popping up in the world and a conflict somewhere, the best thing you can do is go do some research on it and find out for yourself what people are doing. Get the story. Understand what it's about. Jared's a history teacher. Jared probably knows this, what I'm talking about. Do a little research before you start condemning all people. Are there bad leaders? Extremely bad leaders. But is every person there bad? Do they deserve to be bombed into oblivion? Every one of them? John chapter 8. Excuse me. Jesus said in verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This was right after there was a woman caught in adultery, not walking in the way of the Lord, not doing the right thing. Woman was caught in adultery by a bunch of men. And they were getting ready to stone her to death, right? Jesus comes on the scene and he says, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. They got up and walked away because they knew in their own hearts that they were also sinners. We all can be forgiven of our sin regardless of what it is if we meet the the Lord Jesus Christ where He is. And He offers light in our life, and He offers peace in our life. He offers a different walk. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Pharisees were there in verse 13, and they said to him, he says, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Well, my Bible says, and if those Pharisees would have been reading their word, which they had at that time, if they would have been reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet, they would have remembered what God's word says, that I, even I, am God. And without me, there is no Savior. And they would have remembered that they too were forgiven of many sins that they'd sinned against God. And He asked them a zillion million times to walk with Him and talk with Him. And yet, they're questioning the Lord Jesus Christ here. You bear witness of yourself, and it's not true. And Jesus answered and said, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from and where I am going." Here's the question. Do you know where you came from? Do you? Do you know where you came from? Do you believe that God is your maker? Have you acknowledged Him? Have you acknowledged Him? Have you said, "You are my maker, and you're the maker of every other living, breathing human being on this planet"? Have you acknowledged Him? And then if you've acknowledged Him, do you understand where you're going? Do you know what your walk is about? Do you know for sure where it is you're going? When you walk with someone that you trust, you obviously will not be going in different directions, will you? Jeff and I are going to try to take a hike here pretty soon. Maybe we'll go out to Lake Hope or somewhere like that, and we'll start walking. We plan on walking and doing a trail hike. Would it make sense if we want to talk and walk with each other that when we get out of the car, we go separate directions? It doesn't work out very well, does it? Are you with me? What do you want to show people? What do you want to show the people of, yes, North Korea, or the people of Las Vegas, the people of the hurricane victims? What do you want to show them? That we're walking in different directions from them and different directions than our God, that we say one thing and do another? We can say we understand God's word, and He says to love one another as you love yourself, and then out of the other corner of our mouth we say, "Bomb them into." I'll never forget when the Iraqi war was going on. It was a great outcry that said that we should just bomb them with a hydrogen bomb, with an atomic bomb, until the entire desert over there turned to glass. People were using biblical references that they didn't even know they were using, but they were also calling for the imminent destruction of all people in that area. Is that mad? Or is it sanity? You choose. Frankly, I'm getting pretty fed up with hearing people say things like that when they call themselves Christians. There was a term during the Cold War called MAD, M-A-D. You know what it stands for? M-A-D. Amen. That means if one person starts this argument, and the other one joins in, that we both had enough ammunition, enough nuclear weapons, that if we started firing at each other, we would mutually destroy the other one. The end of the world. The power men think is in their fingertips to mutually destroy each other and totally annihilate one another. What do you have left if that happens? What do you have? Who wants to start that argument? Well, there's plenty of people yapping about it today. And there's people who call themselves Christians that are calling for it. I don't know how you walk with the Lord and then say that at the same time. In fact, my Jesus had something to say about that a long time ago in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. He was talking to his churches. And he sent messages to all of his churches. And of these seven churches, they represent every church that's ever been or ever will be. There's faults, there's good things, there's all sorts of things going on in God's Word. And he says to the one church, he says, I wish you would make up your mind. Because you're neither hot nor cold. You've got one foot, you think, with God and the other foot over here with man. And he says, choose who you are going to follow and who you're going to walk with. Our churches today need to make a choice. Are we going to represent peace or are we going to represent MAD? I am going to walk with the Lord my God who saved my soul by giving His life on the cross of Calvary and shedding His blood so that my blood did not have to be shed. And I'm going to pray that not another person in this world has to shed their blood because of some madman. We are to be agents of peace. And where we go, we're supposed to leave peace behind us and preach peace before us and not leave scorched earth where people will never trust us again. Hey, Tom, it's good to see you. What if I came to your house this afternoon, burned it to the ground, literally, just burned it down? Have to deal with Anita. Come to Tom's house and just burn it down, just burn it to the ground, burn his barn, kill all of his cattle. This is serious stuff here. Kill all of his cattle. And then start in on his family. And then the next day, I show up again and say, hey, Tom, how you been? How's things going? Want to go for a walk with me? That's what we've been doing in this world. That is exactly what we are doing. How? Come sit down at the peace table with me. In fact, we're not even doing that today. Here's the scorched earth theory definition from Merriam-Webster. It says it's relating to or being a military policy involving deliberate and unusually widespread destruction of property and resources, such as housing and factories, so that an invading enemy cannot use them. If you say you love God, and then you help with the destruction of someone's life, you're of no further use to that person. We need to help people find Jesus while there is time. If you walk different directions with other people, you can't listen to them, you can't enjoy them, you can't share things, and you won't be able to understand them. My wife and I can't understand each other in her house. you know what happens? We'll start to say something. We're both guilty of this. Start to say something. One person goes one way and the other person goes the other way. And we end up saying, what'd you say? Or we think they said something that they didn't, which is even worse. Especially when she says, you think these shoes match? Go with my pocketbook. And I'll say something, and she'll say, well, why don't you like them? Well, I didn't say I didn't like them. I said, it looked fine. Well, I didn't. And it trails off into the distance. And before you know it, no one knows what the other person's talking about. You got to walk together. Churches have to walk together with the Lord. We have to walk with the Lord, with Him, listening to Him. He will guide you every step of the way, even in your worst day and in your sorrows. His Word is there to depend on Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean on God and His Word and His precepts. People point to the destruction in the Old Testament. You can point to that all you want. God was trying to destroy evil. And if you will not admit to that and the honesty of that, then you don't want to learn God's Word. God will destroy evil. And eventually, at some point in time, it will be destroyed forever. But in the meantime, we're having to deal with it. I have a couple of quotes here I'd like to read to you before we get done. And we'll be done in just a moment. Some people you might know and respect said these things. Henry Ford. I love this. It's Bible-based. You can type this in and get all sorts of results. And I love this from Henry Ford. Those who walk with God always reach their destination. Because we know where we're going. And we'll recognize it when we get there. And we'll recognize goodness on this earth when we see it, and we'll recognize evil as well. And you have to be able to recognize both. And you have to acknowledge that there is good, but first you must recognize and acknowledge that there is a God. This guy, Henry Ford, was all about us getting mobile and driving somewhere and having a destination, wasn't he? So I just think it's great that he states this. Those who walk with God always reach their destination. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, wrote this. If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. It's pretty blunt. And then a man by the name of Jack Hiles. This is what I want to leave you with. Are you looking for help in your life? Are you looking for power in your life? Are you looking for strength in your life? Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for peace? Not mutually assured destruction, but mutually assured salvation. And mutually assured peace. Map. I'd rather have a map and know my final destination and where I'm going than be mad, wouldn't you? I don't want mutually assured destruction, but I want a mutually assured direction. I want a mutually assured possession. And I want all of you to have it. Our parents, Brother Bill and mine's parents, especially our mother, tried to make sure that we had a mutually assured direction and a destination. If I asked my brother right now, what one thing do you remember about my mom in the evening? I know exactly what he would say. In the evening. Before she did anything else, before she went to bed, when all the work was done, when she was all cleaned up and smelling nice and had everybody in the whole place taken care of, she sat down and read her Bible, didn't she, Bill? Every night. God had to have her. 1981, the phone rang. My brother Bill. Mom's gone. But she had reached her final destination. Because she had a mutually assured plan in her life from God. It was agreed upon with God. You see, the agreement was there. I agree with you, God. Amen. I agree with you, God. I acknowledge who you are. I love you, God. She taught us to walk with Him, not away from Him. She taught us to run to Him, not away. All those years ago, and still, I can see her sitting in the chair. I still know exactly what she smelled like. She was one of those persons that just led me to God. And we need to lead others to God while there is still time. We need to get off the fence and talk about peace. And not destruction. This last quote from this man by the name of Jack Hyle says this: God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God. You want power in your life? Kids, these young people here today, do you want to have strength your whole life? Do you want to be able to resist the devil? Do you want to be able to do the right thing? When other kids are cursing and carrying on, you want to be able to resist joining in with them? You want to be able to stand up and do the right thing in your life and lead others to Christ? Then call on the power of God and walk with Him. See the difference it makes in your life. God's power saved my life on this earth and saved our marriage. God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to God's Word. Thank you for trying this day to not lean on our own understanding, but instead, lean on the understanding of God and what He wants for your life, because He wants mutually assured peace in your life. And He wants us to stop leaving a trail of destruction and scorched earth behind us and instead pronounce and proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of us and leave a trail of peace behind us. He died on this cross of Calvary so that we could have peace. When Jesus left His disciples, He told them three separate times, "Peace I give you, peace I pray for you, and peace I leave with you." And I pray today that you will leave with a more peaceful heart and leaning more on God than ourselves. Let's pray.